Thank you, Nathan and Evan. Appreciate leading the singing and the special this morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8. Matthew chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a risen Savior who is alive and coming again. Thank you that we can in freedom meet together and worship our Lord. We thank you for it. Thank you for the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. We ask that you'll guide us now as we look at these scriptures that so clearly tell us of our risen Lord. We thank you, we love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to call your attention there to verse 1, where it says it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Mark's account tells us in very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. John says that it was yet dark. Luke says very early in the morning. So they came to see the tomb, and Jesus had already arisen. He had risen in a dark time, probably just about dark of our Saturday night when it just turned dark was about the time when he arose from the dead, which would be the Jewish first day of the week and would be Sunday that he arose from the dead. And so we notice that they come, he is arisen already. And verse 2 tells us, behold, there was a great earthquake. I remember reading, I've never been over there. Maybe someday I'll get over there. I know I will in the millennial reign. But someday I'd like to visit Israel. But what reading I've done about it, that over the place where the tomb is, there's a great crack that goes up, to which indicates that at one time there must have been a great earthquake. And so the Bible tells us that there's a great earthquake. If you go to Matthew chapter 27, just back there to chapter 27, and look at verse 57, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. So notice that there were some things here that indicate this tomb and where it was. John chapter 19, verse 41 says, Now in the place where he was crucified. So we know the tomb was near his cross where he was crucified. It says there was a garden, so we know there was a garden there. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. So those are the things that the Bible tells us about this tomb. So there are some indicators of it. John 19:41, the tomb is near the crucifixion site. Hebrews 13:12, it is outside the wall of Jerusalem. Mark 15:29, Matthew 27:39, it is near a road, and John 19:41, it is in a garden. Mark 15:22, Matthew 27:33, John 19:17, the place of the crucifixion is called Golgotha, which means skull. And in Matthew 27:60, it must be of rock. It is a rock tomb. So over there in Israel today, Constantine's tomb, it doesn't meet the scriptural requirements. But the famed Christian general, Chinese Gordon, he was stationed in Palestine and began a search for the real tomb of Jesus. North of the city stands a hill which is remarkable for its sheer rocky cliff facing south. He could easily discern that this hill was at one time connected to the hill upon which the city is built, Mount Moriah, the site of Solomon's temple and where Abraham had offered Isaac. When Gordon saw this skull-like cliff, he began excavating the area. He found at the west foot of the hill the remains of a garden. Under many feet of dirt and rubbish, a tomb dating back to the Roman times was found. It was cut out of solid rock with a trench or a groove cut in the front for a large gravestone to roll. The tomb is a room back in the rock, 14 feet wide, 10 feet deep, 7.5 feet high. As you enter, you stand in a small vestibule room. The graves are to your right, with a low stone wall separating them from the entrance room. The graves are 6 inches cut into the wall. One is unfinished. This signifies that the tomb was used before finished. A small niche has been cut into the stone at the end of the grave as though prepared for the feet to be placed into it. This would indicate that the body placed there was not the one originally intended. The Roman Emperor Hadrian, in his persecution of the Christians, AD 135, built a temple to Venus, which was later destroyed by Constantine over the tomb of Jesus. General Gordon found the shrine stone of Venus while digging at this spot. In a vault adjoining the tomb, a tombstone was found inscribed, "Buried near his Lord." Scrapings were taken from the walls, graves, floors, etc., of the tomb and tests done. It was proven that no human body had ever decayed in this tomb. The tomb was empty. And so we have the testimony of the stone being rolled back to show that Jesus had arisen. We have the testimony of the empty tomb. We have the testimony of the soldiers who were not put to death. There was something unusual happened here, and they didn't put the soldiers to death, as we read in the scripture. So we have a clear testimony that Jesus arose from the dead. Verses 3 through 6 give us that clear testimony. And the angel says there, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." Clear testimony, clear word that he had risen from the dead. Well, let's wake up this early morning. We have a clear testimony also. It's right here in the Word of God. It's written for us. We're not living back nearly, well, right around 2,000 years ago. We're not coming to the empty tomb. But just as they had a clear testimony of the empty tomb, so do we. Written right here in black and white in the Word of God. Clear testimony. Verse 7 says, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." And so they are told to go quickly. They have the command to go. If you read on, it's repeated by the Lord himself. Look at verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. At verse 9 says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And then on down to verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So they were told to go and tell. He's alive. He lives. He's arisen from the dead. And Jesus picked that up with what the angels had told these women who came to the tomb. Jesus came right behind that and said, go and tell. And then we move down to verse 18, and he gave the commission to all of us to go. We've all been commissioned to tell the news of a resurrected Savior. Very clearly in the scriptures that comes out, is given to us as well. The excitement of a risen Savior. We should be telling the news that he's alive and coming again. Notice verse 8 there, how excited they are. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear. We should be afraid if we don't do what we're told to do. It should cause fear that we would not obey his command to be tellers of the good news. With fear, and then notice, and great joy. What great joy it should bring to our heart that we have a risen Savior. He's alive. He's coming again. And they did run. They did run to bring his disciples word. You know what you see there? You see excitement. They're excited. Jesus is alive. And I want you to notice that where is the excitement of our risen Lord today? For many people, today will just be a day of Easter baskets and Easter bunnies and Easter eggs, and there will not even be any mention of a risen Savior in this nation that we live today. For the majority of people, there will not even be a mention. Where is that excitement of a risen Savior? It should be flowing in our hearts. It should be a joy to our hearts. We should be excited, especially on this day of Easter that we celebrate the resurrected Lord. We should be an excited people. Verse 9 says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, notice as they went to tell. So often we look over things in the scripture. They were obedient. They went to tell his disciples. Jesus met them. There's something about being obedient to the command that we've been given that brings the feeling of the closeness of the Lord in our lives. When we're obedient to that command. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. In John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11, he said, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know the reason many Christians lose the joy of the Lord in their lives? Because they're not obedient to his commands. They're not obedient. And you lose that joy. When we obey his commands, there's something about his presence that becomes a reality in our lives. Muhammad, he lies buried in Mecca. Buddha, buried in India, and somewhere you will find the remains of all the leaders of the false religions, but not Jesus. Let's let him tell us himself in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. We'll just let Jesus tell us himself. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. If you have the keys of hell and death, that means you have a way to release people from hell and death. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to be saved, to believe that Jesus Christ is alive and coming again, that he arose from the dead, that if thou shalt believe in thy mouth, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, the Bible tells us very clearly. So our rock of ages burst out of the solid rock tomb, and he lives, and he's coming again. He told us that four times he reminded us. Revelation 3:11, he said, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Praise God, here's a good group of people, 2022, many, many years after he arose from the dead, that are here because we believe Jesus is alive. And we're trying to hold fast so that when he comes, we can worship him and we can praise him and we can give whatever rewards we might have at his feet. Revelation 22:7, behold, I come quickly. Behold, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. It's two times there he's told us that. Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And then finally, I like the way he says it the last time. Our Lord said in Revelation 22:20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. What a great testimony that we have. And so we can imagine in our minds the excitement of these as they come to the tomb. And we can imagine the excitement of Peter and John as they look in the empty tomb. And we can imagine that excitement of how it was to realize he's alive. Well, we have the testimony right here, folks. We ought to have that same excitement, because we can take this book and we can read it just as though we were there too. And we can see he's alive. He's alive and coming again. And it ought to stir our hearts. All these problems and difficulties and health issues that we have here, they're nothing compared to what's coming for us, because we have a risen Savior, alive and coming again. So let's get excited. Let's tell the good news. Let's be sharing the gospel as God gives us the opportunities. And let's remember that that's our mission. That's what we see in the resurrection. Go tell, go tell, go. Share the good news that we have a living Savior. Why, those followers of Muhammad, they can't share that news. The followers of Buddha, they can't share that. Joseph Smith and all the others, they can't share that. But we can. We have a risen Savior who's alive and coming again, and we should get excited about it, and we should be telling the news, and we should make each day a day that could be the day he will return. And so this day, we need to tell. We need to have him come finding us, telling as we have opportunity. What a great compliment that would be to him, that when he comes, he finds us telling just like he commanded when he arose from the dead. So I hope you're challenged to be excited about the resurrection and be one who, like these, they with fear and great joy run to bring the word of Jesus is alive and coming again. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these few moments to think about the resurrected Savior. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you are alive and that you are coming again. Help us to get excited. Help us not to forget that we have a message that no other religion in the world, no other faith system has, but we do. We have a living Savior, and we thank you for it. And we pray that we will be faithful to serve you in these last days, and we'll get excited, and we'll not let all of the depressing things that are going around in our government, in our society, and all the things that seem to be that people have just lost their common sense. Help us not to let those things discourage us, but help us to be excited people because we have a living Savior. And be busy about telling the good news. We thank you, we love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe someone is here this